Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Yeah, you always got to pick and choose what shine you're going to drink with the movie that you're going to cover. Hello and welcome back to another fantabulous episode of, four times trioxin-filled episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now today, I know it's been a while, took the month of July off, but now we're into season two of Guess What? You're Wrong, and this is episode three of season two with Christine, and we're going to cover Return of the Living Dead part four. What's the
Necropolis?
Necropolis. Christine, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
The more I drink, the better this movie gets, I guess.
What the? Okay.
Yeah. So, with my shine in hand, I'm ready to tackle this Return of the Living Dead part four. So, this movie. All right, let's start off with a synopsis. A group of teenagers, in an attempt to rescue their friend from an evil corporation, end up inadvertently releasing a horde of bloodthirsty zombies. Okay, well, to start off with, that synopsis is incorrect because they're not bloodthirsty zombies. They're brain thirsty. They want the brain hungry zombies.
I know. So. And they were, it looked like the bite was what was like the biggest thing.
Well, I
not
think
even
that,
about your brains.
I think that bite, they did that in part three as well, didn't they?
I think they were getting to it, but yeah, they never actually said it.
See, now I had to do a little bit of research on this 245 trioxin. Because, of course, okay, this is the stuff that, you know, made the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So, 245 trioxin. Now, this form of trioxin is responsible for the 245 trioxin zombies. Now, in gas form, 245 trioxin can inadvertently convert the living into triambies and reanimate the dead. When in liquid form, it has a slight corrosive effect. Okay. Hmm. I don't know. Now, I'm getting this information from livingdeadfandom.com wiki trioxin. So I don't know how much weight you're going to put behind this research they did on trioxin, but you never know, you know, because
trioxin's not real.
Well,
is it?
We can get into that, what it's based off of. But now in the original Return of the Living Dead, the trioxin was found in those trioxin canisters, which accidentally got released into the air. Although this, when it got released into the air, it only caused two corpses to reanimate, the cadaver and then Tarman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the cadaver was dismembered and cremated, the trioxin smoke was released into the air, and then that's what created this rain that fell onto Resurrection Cemetery and seeped into the dead corpses on the ground. They started reanimating.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember the wonderful Linnea Quigley and her dance on the gravestone or the grave or whatever it was there. Yeah. Now, in Return of the Living Dead Part 2, the trioxin in this movie was also from one of them canisters and was tinkered with by Billy. And the trioxin, much like the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That smoke went over into the cemetery and reanimated the corpses. Now, in Part 3, the trioxin changes a little bit, right?
Yep.
Now, in Part 3, this movie's trioxin was used by the government to develop a new weapon, Everlasting Soldiers. However, the trioxin seemed more sensitive in this movie than it had in the previous two because it seemed to spread by bite.
Yes.
Now, fortunately, the trioxin did not spread throughout the town and it just infected a handful of people. Now, the trioxin in Part 4, it's actually called trioxin 5.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it used to be called trioxin 2, 4, 5, and now it's just trioxin 5. Now, this form of trioxin is responsible for the creation of the trioxin 5 zombies. It has, I don't know where they're getting their damn information from. It's unknown if it has any corrosive effect, but it does not affect the living unless it's ingested or comes in direct contact with exposed flesh.
Like if their hands, like the one dude that they were going through Chernobyl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And somehow he got that liquid on his hand, that green liquid on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or that ooze.
The green ooze.
Yeah. So then in Necropolis, the trioxin in this movie was secretly used in an operation by Hybrotech, known as Necropolis. Hybrotech used this trioxin to try and make more uber zombies, kind of like from Part 3, but with trioxin 5.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea that, you know, the makeup of this trioxin 5 and what's changed and what's, you know, and whatnot, but there's been an evolution of trioxin, which is why I'm guessing things change. Like in this one here, in Necropolis, you shoot them in the head and they die.
Yes.
And there's even times where they unload a bunch of ammo into their chest and they seem to die.
What about when they were like kicking their asses and they were just like,
oh my gosh,
going down.
They were this movie,
their asses like it's go time, guys. They start kicking their asses.
Now, like you said, the movie starts off in Chernobyl, you know, where we have this guy whose face you love, Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
Who played by Peter Coyote. I don't know. He looks very familiar. He's not been in any of the other ones. No, he has not been in. What else was he in? He was in Bitter Moon, A Walk to Remember. He was in E.T. Oh, yeah, he was one of the scientists in E.T.
Was he?
Yeah. That's where I remember him from.
I don't like his face.
Yeah. He was always in like, a mischievous, pissed-off mood, right?
Yeah, and he always does this weird thing with his mouth.
Yeah, but I didn't fully understand how the trioxin barrels got to Russia.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either.
But I don't know. They decided to hide them at Chernobyl site because Chernobyl's a nuclear wasteland or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, we saw that guy. He goes to one of the canisters had dumped. There's so much I don't understand about this damn movie. Okay, supposedly these barrels are, I'm guessing set up because when he goes in there and finds that one barrel knocked over, he's kind of surprised. And he's like, oh, what the hell? And he goes down to reach and pick it up. And that's when he gets that green oozy shit on him,
mm-hmm.
Which transforms him into a Zed. But how did the barrel get knocked over?
No one knows.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Exactly.
Now, anyway, I would have thought that, you know, it got knocked over because maybe one of the Zeds from inside, you know, the Tarman type of Zed had come out, but there's no other zombies. It's just those two guys.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, well, there's just that one guy, and then later on he bites his partner, and Uncle Charles gets away with his, you know, barrels of trioxin 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, there's so much about this damn movie. Then what is this? We see this thing with this car crash. Now, they don't actually. Later on, we learned out that that was Julian's, John Keefe's parents.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show the parents. They don't show them too much. It's just a car crash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 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 What's that one kid that they call Pyro?
He's what do you mean?
What was his? I don't remember his real name, but they know. I think I got it in my notes later on, but he's making a blowtorch or a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, we find out that since their parents are dead, they're living with Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
So this kid is making a flamethrower. I mean, the kid can't be what? 12 years old?
Yeah, maybe that.
Oh.
11 or 12. Something like that.
Well, well, well. Let me see. I'm trying to find this kid's name now. I got it in my notes somewhere because Zeke ends up killing him at the end.
Mm-hmm. I thought then they just call him Pyro.
Pyro, yeah. Oh, he had. See, I got Pyro was dead. Oh, shoot. I thought he had another name, but I don't know. But
he probably does, but they don't say it.
I thought they said it at least once. Who in the hell knows? This movie. Now, we have a small cast here. So we have Amy Lynn Chadwick, who plays Becky, Corey Hardrick, who plays Cody, John Keefe, who plays Julian, Jaina Kramer, who plays Katie Williams, Elvin Dandel, who plays Zeke, Toma Danila, who plays Carlos, and, you know, there's, I don't even know if we want to go into there. The one that I liked the most was Becky. I thought she was the cutest out of all of them.
Of the one with the glasses and the...
She was a nerdy blonde girl.
Yeah.
And she's been in a lot of movies. I mean, she's got a lot of credits here, a lot of TV shows. But she was the cutest out of everybody there, in my opinion. And one thing that got me, all of these friends have dirt bikes.
I know.
Even the nerdy blonde Becky is riding around on a dirt bike.
Dirt bike.
Wow. What a group of friends to have there.
Yeah.
I'm going through my notes here to see if there's anything. What did you like most about the movie? Besides Uncle Charlie being a dick.
The soundtrack.
Yeah, it had a good soundtrack. That it did.
Yeah, it was by Power Man 5000. Did a lot of the songs. And Voodoo, whatever. Was it Smash Mouth? It's...
Yeah.
Somebody. But.
Yep.
Godsmack.
Godsmack. It did have a pretty good soundtrack. I'll give it that.
And a lot of it was confusing because I was expecting to see like the zombie still going, even though they shot him in the head.
Yeah. But that's what we said earlier. I mean, we find out that you can shoot them in the head and they die now. But, there was a few times where they were just unloading and they took a bunch of rounds to the chest and they went down.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this Traxxon 5, this mutated version of it, is not as good as they thought it was.
Yeah.
You know. But another thing that I got here in my notes was, damn, the acting. The acting is subpar. I'll say that. Right. And,
it's definitely like a B-rated performance.
I would say like a C or D-rated performance.
Really? That bad?
Yeah. I didn't think it was that great at all.
That guy, Zeke.
Zeke is a dick. There's two dicks in this. I mean, Uncle Charlie and Zeke.
Yep.
I mean, gosh. I never wanted two people in a movie to die so much in my life.
Right?
Yeah, but...
Uncle Charlie never dies.
Well, we can hope. Because we still got Rave to the Grave coming up.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if they... Who's in Rave to the Grave? I don't know if it's... a direct continuation of this or what, but we'll find out later on.
Yeah.
Now, this whole scene with, you know, the peer pressure and the bikes to jump this ramp.
Yeah.
You know, Zeke's trying to push Julian into making his jump.
And that, he couldn't do it.
That was, I'm thinking of this, I'm like, now I've gone through some peer pressure when I was, you know, in my younger years. But it wasn't, I don't remember it being that bad.
Yeah.
You know, but then anyway, Zeke wipes out because he tries to show off. Oh, I can do it. Look, and he wipes out. And it wasn't that bad of a wipeout, really.
No.
But he's got head trauma.
He had his helmet on.
He has some head trauma. So he gets sent, supposedly, to the hospital.
Yeah.
Fishy. Because then Julian goes to look for him at the hospital, and there's no Zeke around.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, when Julian goes to the hospital and there's no Zeke, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we know that the uncle is a dick.
Yep.
You know? I mean, come on.
That's like the first thing you know is that he's a dick.
Yeah. Now we get, what about this scene with the bums?
Oh my God.
Now, first thing I have to question, because in the scene before the bums, you know, we see that Uncle Charlie's, he's got an arm in this case.
Yep.
And he puts this Traxxon 5 under this arm. The arm comes alive.
It makes him very happy. The freaking hands, like, going around like thing.
Oh, my gosh. But then, you know, what gets me is that they have... Like I don't know, where they evacuate the gas out of the chamber and it goes down this tube, but instead of, because obviously it's a biological hazard, this needs to be like in a, you know, like in a biosafety lab level 4 or some shit like that, you know. But he's just dicking around with this stuff in this chamber and evacuating this Traxxon 5 gas down this tube that just kind of, I guess the tube goes outside the walls and underground and then outside the back alley where there's bums living.
Yep.
I mean, so I have to question what kind of government, you know, well, I guess I shouldn't have to question that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. The government is in charge of that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think they're an independent subsidized company that's subsidized by the government.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense, especially considering what happened with this thing, Wuhan lab over in China, the COVID thing. Makes a lot of sense.
Does it?
It makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
But then, yeah, the bums are out here. They're cooking this rat.
Is that a rat or a weasel?
It's a rat. But the damn thing is huge. It's like the size of a dog.
It was huge. It was a huge rat.
I was thinking, are these guys in like New York City or something? I mean, damn, that's a big ass rat.
Right.
But then, you know, gas leaks out of this damn, the pipe where they're evacuating the Traxxon 5 from the lab that Dr. Charlie or Uncle Charlie is working in.
Mm-hmm.
So the one bum gets... He goes to lay down, and as soon as he went to lay down, I'm like, yeah, well, some shit's going to happen now.
Go.
Yeah. But the one thing that I didn't expect was, because the other bum, his name's Krusty.
Krusty.
And he tears off one of the rat legs, and he's eating it.
Yeah.
And he goes to grab another piece, and the rat comes to life.
It comes to life, and it bites him on the neck.
What the?
Wow. What was that?
I guess this gas does bring, I mean, it brings the dead to life. So, but we've never seen it bring animals to life.
No.
You know, we've never seen it make, you know, zombie animals. So I guess this is one of the changes in the Traxxon.
Yeah.
You know, but now it affects animals. So that was odd. I'll tell you, you know.
It was very odd. One minute he's eating it, and the next minute it's eating him.
Yeah. One thing that we forgot to mention is that Katie, one of the girls with this gang, she happens to work in a security office at Hybertech.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up bringing Zeke to what's called Necropolis, the city of the dead.
Yeah.
And she sees it on the security camera. So she, you know, she calls Julian, and they
they all decide to get ready to go and kick some ass at that plant.
They're gonna break into Hybertech, which is supposed to be this huge conglomerate, this huge government, or this government funded corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And these five or six, seven kids, I don't even know how many there were, they decide they're gonna break in. Because they're gonna free their friend Zeke. Even though Zeke's a dick. But they're gonna free him.
Even though Zeke's a dick, they're gonna go free him.
Oh, Christine. I guess this movie actually is—it's not too bad, because it's actually—it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, at points. I mean, you know, but we get the—you know—the group of hooligans that want to go and free their friend. They're just driving their dirt bikes. Now, dirt bikes are not quiet.
No.
And they're tearing down this alleyway, and they get to this, you know, this where the bums were.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the whole confrontation with the bums and these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't even know what the one guy's name was. Was his name Carlos?
Spanish guy?
Let me see. I got it in my notes here. Yeah, Carlos. Carlos happens to have a gun and shoots one of them in the head. He dies.
Yeah.
And the other one, what was this kid's name? Let me go back. Corey Hardrick. He brings some nunchucks.
Right? What is up with that?
Because he's a badass.
Since when can you beat up a zombie with your nunchucks?
Well, to be fair, I mean, they weren't anticipating coming across any zeds. They thought they were just going to go in there and break out their dick friend.
Yeah.
You know, but, he's like, no, I got this. I got this. And he goes off on the zombie just hit.
But right?
It doesn't do anything, you know.
It doesn't at all.
So he's like, all right, go ahead and shoot him. Okay. Wow. So I don't even know where in the hell I'm at. My notes. Oh, yeah, they make it. So, oh yeah. Well, Zeke woke up he's always strained, and he hears these groans and all this. There's Zeds everywhere. And this is when that one friend, Mimi, because Katie works in a security office at Hybertech with some guy. I don't remember his name now. I don't think it's that important. But she's pausing the camera so that way the kids can get in and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their friends, Mimi, knocks on the door and says, what does she say? Have you ever been with a triple jointed Sagittarian gymnast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow. That's okay. That's how they get the other security guard out of the security office. Wow. And, you know, all these kids, they make it to, I would have started thinking something was up, because when they start coming to all these damn doors, all the doors are open already.
Right.
I'm like, eh, something's up, you know. And they come to these, air ducts.
Mm-hmm.
One is marked with blue arrows. The other one's marked with red arrows.
Yep.
But the one with the blue arrows was already taken off. But Katie tells them, no, go into the one with the red arrows. So they put the grate back on the duct and the red arrows, and they go into the, and Katie's like, don't worry about it. It was probably maintenance, but nobody's been down there for years.
Right.
Like that's a contradiction. Okay. It was probably maintenance, but nobody's been there for years. All right. So they go into the air ducts. All I know is that they're ignoring all these signs. The doors are open. The wrong air duct is open, but they go into the other one. They just close it and they go into the air ducts, but they find out that who was actually already in there, but Pyro, the little kid.
Yep.
Julian's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So Katie earlier was telling them, no, go to the duct with the red arrows. Obviously, Pyro's the one that went. He went into the duct with the blue arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And they all ended up at the same spot. So does it really matter what the hell duct they went into?
I guess not. But they make it a point that you know that there are red and blue arrows in the ducts.
Yeah, so. A triple jointed gymnast. All right.
Triple jointed gymnast.
A Sagittarian gymnast. And now, when they come out of this duct, they're in an armory.
Yep.
There are weapons everywhere. Now, I don't care who you are. Now, they're supposed to be, I don't know, what, 16, 17 years old?
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be, yeah.
If you find yourself in an armory like this, I'm loading up.
Right.
I'm taking it. Even if I don't think I'm going to find anything, I'm like, damn, these are some cool weapons. I'm taking some with me.
Right?
They don't touch anything. Nothing.
Nope.
They just keep walking.
They use their weapons that they brought with them.
Oh my gosh. The nunchucks.
The nunchucks.
I'm telling you.
The rope. The nunchucks. The friggin' taser.
Yeah. This movie. Okay. Let's keep going through. Because there's really not much left after this. I mean, you know, they get in here past the armory. They actually find Uncle Charlie.
Yep.
And
he tells them that they're at the first level of this, what is it, research plant or whatever?
Bio research or some shit. And they're like, why are you doing this? And he's like, why do you think? World domination.
Right? What's wrong with Uncle Charlie? There's really something wrong with him.
But Katie keeps having problems because, you know, the security alarms are going off, doors are opening. She tries to shut him down, but finally, there's a complete security failure. All the zombies in this little prison are released.
Yeah.
And there are Zeds everywhere. Now, this is when you think back, these idiots should have grabbed a bunch of those weapons when they were in a damn armory.
Right.
But, alas, they don't. This is when, holy shit. The one security guard calls Katie. Now, Katie's a good-looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's no Becky, but she's a good-looking girl. She's working, you know, in the security room, and the security guard up front calls her and you know, starts flirting with her. Now, at first, I thought that this was the guy that had left with Mimi, you know, and I thought that maybe Mimi was underneath their desk, you know, doing something with them, but it wasn't. I mean, this is completely, totally different guy.
Totally different guy.
Yeah, but, you know, he's, you know, giving her that sex talk over the phone. And boy, these days, that guy would be fired in a minute for sexual harassment.
Yes.
But he gets something even better. He gets his brains ate.
Yeah, he gets his head torn off and his brains eaten.
And this is when we have, they had to keep this part. Because this is something that was so great in the first one, the second one. I don't think they said it in the third one, where he says, send more paramedics or send more security guards.
They always have one of the zombies say, send more paramedics or
oh my gosh, dude.
She's like, who is this?
Yeah. There's so much crap going on.
They start fighting the zombies after, like, all of their artillery is gone.
This is, they're trying
it's
to get out.
It's go time. I'm like, can you fight a zombie?
This is so comical. I mean, they can't get out, so they turn around and there's zombies coming in. It's go time. And then it's Julian, Carlos, and what's the other guy's name again? Cody.
Yeah.
Start fighting zombies.
Right. And they're actually falling to the ground.
And it's like, they're like, you know, all these kids are like kung fu masters or karate masters.
Right.
You know, because, you know, they went straight to the John Woo Academy of Martial Arts, I guess, because they're beating the hell out of these zombies. But we know that you can't beat up a zombie. You got to destroy its brain in the first three, you had to burn them up or some shit. I don't even know what the hell.
Yeah, I think you had to burn them.
Incinerate them, yeah. But this is where we lose Carlos. You know, because they're going into it. One thing we passed by is that now Julian is, Uncle Charlie tells Julian that
his parents are there.
Yeah, his parents are there on level 14 or whatever.
It's level 12.
Level 12, okay. I watched the movie twice.
I know, I watched it over and over.
Oh my! So you that's why you like the movie, because you watch it so many times.
No. It's okay.
Oh my gosh.
It was a confusing one.
Yeah, this comedic fight scene where, you know,
go time.
Julian
get out and start kicking people their asses.
Julian and Cody get into the elevator, but Carlos decides to stand back and keep beating up the zombie.
Right.
You know, not killing it, not shooting it in the head or anything. Just
beating the crap out of it.
Okay, well, he gets away from that zombie and starts running back. But guess what?
There's one that pulls him back.
Yeah, and eats his brains. Carlos is no more.
And then the zombie is walking slowly towards the elevator.
Oh,
like,
man.
He can't get in. It was like,
yeah,
it was meant to be like a scary moment or something that's supposed to scare you.
I need another drink. Hold on.
The bloody hands. Okay.
Oh, man. Okay. I have some with me here, so I just put some in my cup. But yeah, the elevator doors are closing slow.
Yeah.
And Julian and Cody are inside. They're just like, oh no, he's dead. Oh, they don't care about this zombie that's walking toward them. And the zombie just stops in front of the elevator.
Right.
When there's plenty of time for that zombie to reach in to the door
and get him.
But yeah, maybe they thought it was going to close quicker. I don't know.
They made the zombies more human, like.
Yeah.
I mean, they were already human, but they made them more human-like.
Well, that was one of the things that I know I read somewhere, too, about this new Trioxin, was that the zombies they created, that they kept a lot more of their human characteristics.
Okay.
Which is, we see later on with Zeke. You know, Becky, Pyro, and Zeke are trying to escape. Now, Zeke gets bit.
Yep.
And I don't care.
Neck.
Yeah, I don't care who. And it's a gory bite. I mean, it's not just like, you know, small. I don't care who you are. You know that if somebody gets bit by a zombie, you need to get away from them.
Right.
But Becky and Pyro just keep on hanging out with little Zeke, the dick.
Right.
And, you know, Zeke was a dick when he was a human, when he was alive, and he's a dick when he's a zombie.
He's like, you know what I want to do? I want to eat your fucking brain.
Well, you know, that calls back to that one scene in the first one, you know, where he's like, I can smell your brains. Just get, you know.
The spicy.
Oh, the spicy brains. Wow. Spicy brains.
Spicy brain.
But Cody and Zeke make it up to the bio level 12, you said?
Yes.
They make it to level 12, and they're going past all these rooms, and there's all kinds. I didn't even write down the names of the rooms that they were passing, but they're like stupid names for rooms, and they're supposed to be in a bioweapons, what they're looking for. They find a bioweapons room, and they find Julian's parents, I guess. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. His dad is all like...
Well, you know what they look like.
Yeah, they look like weird zombie soldiers.
They look like the Borg from Star Trek.
Oh, really?
That's a, you don't watch Star Trek?
I haven't in a
while. Oh, my gosh. My cousin. Yeah. A big thing.
I'll start watching Star Trek.
A big thing in Star Trek, the Next Generation is where it started. They found one of their biggest enemies for the Federation was this.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about. I used to watch Star Trek with my dad, the Next Generation, like all the time.
It's the Borg, and you know they live in this huge hive. They're all connected, but that's who these Julian's parents are, the Borg. That's what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, wow. Okay. What are they? Julian finds his parents. They look like, oh yeah, they look like the Borg. That's what that, the time, I must have skipped past a bunch of shit here because they get out and this is where Uncle Charlie, it's like, it's time to release what do you call them? The Uber soldiers.
Yeah.
Wow. And
did you see the clones?
Yeah. The baby room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I skipped past that.
Them in there.
So that's what they were. That's right. That was one of the things that changed too, was that they're cloning them. So they don't have to have live, you know, human subjects any longer. They're cloning them so they could just use the clones. But those things look creepy. All those big containers with clones.
They look like Ghoulies.
I just watched that movie a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
I love Ghoulies, but that's why I won't go into a bathroom. I'm serious.
That's on my media server too.
Like, I won't go to a bathroom in a carnival because of the Ghoulies.
Ghoulies. Ghoulies are awesome.
They'll get you in the end.
They certainly will. They certainly will. Boy. So they release the Uber soldiers. And then we find out that Mimi and her boyfriend she started taking a liking to this security guy, because when they go and find Mimi, you know, she's putting her shirt back on and everything, and they're like, oh yeah. They're kind of, she likes him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, okay. But they didn't last long, because they obviously got turned, because we see them later on.
And Julian's like, I can't shoot a friend.
No, I can't. I lost my virginity to her.
I can't shoot her.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay.
he lost his virginity to her.
Wow. Okay. So this is where, because we know that Zeke had turned into a Zed. Mm-hmm. And he continued to be a dick even long after he turned into a zombie. And he kills Pyro. Now, Pyro is the, I don't know, 12, 13, 14-year-old kid. And this is something you don't see very often. You don't see a kid getting...
No, his brain's eaten.
Yeah.
No.
So, that was something. Becky needs to survive, you know, obviously. Pyro had this blowtorch or flamethrower that he had rigged up somehow. I don't know. One thing that I find odd is that Pyro never actually turns into a zombie.
No, he just falls on the ground and dies. Is it different for kids?
I don't know.
It can't be different for kids, because I think it was in 2 that one kid.
Yeah. Well, it was a different tracks, and I don't know. All I know is that he gets his brains ate, and he doesn't transform. He doesn't turn into a zombie. Becky picks up his flamethrower and starts doesn't actually hit any of the zombies until Zeke, right? She hits Zeke.
Yeah, she actually hits Zeke, and he's like on fire. And I think he was a terrible overactor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The screaming and all the weirdness.
Yeah. Now, what did. Oh, yeah. Becky grabs a grenade because the Uber soldiers show up.
Mm-hmm.
And she grabs a grenade and throws it at Julian's dad.
Yeah.
Doesn't kill him. Well, we think it does at this point, but it doesn't. And then we have the zombie boxing.
Yeah.
Zeke challenges Julian. Now, Zeke is a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies are supposed to be killing machines. You know, all you want to do is just kill you and eat your brains.
Yeah, he's like, come on. Come on. And I was like, okay.
So there's a Julian and zombie Zeke fighting match that continues. Yeah. And there's so many times where, you know, because Zeke's beating the hell out of Julian. There's so many times that he could have just eaten his brains and been over with.
Right. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to fight him, which is weird.
Yeah. But, you know, Julian ends up pulling the pins on some grenades that are in Zeke's pocket, blows them up. There goes Zeke. Mm-hmm. Zeke's finally dead.
Bet you were happy to see that happen.
I was happy when this movie was actually over.
You were happy when it was over. It was that bad for you.
Oh, boy. Now, we still got a little bit left to go. I mean, Becky, she electrocutes the mom, Uber soldier. Mm-hmm. And then the SWAT team shows up.
Right.
Now, what the hell? Why did the SWAT team show up? Because at the beginning of the movie, we're going over this Hybrid Tech and how they're responsible for cleaning up the zombie outbreaks from mm-hmm. you know, part three and outbreaks since then and everything. So Hybrid Tech is supposed to be the place you go to get rid of Zeds.
Yep.
So why in the hell is the SWAT team showing up?
I have no idea, but they come in there and they're like, blow them to bits.
Yeah, they just lighten everything up. This is where we find out that the dad, Uber soldier dad, is not dead. He gets up and starts shooting.
Yep.
He's alive for a minute. They end up, he's dead again. Can you really kill something that's already dead or make it dead?
Make it dead, I guess.
Yeah, dead twice. I don't know. But then Katie dies. Now, for those of you that are paying attention and following along, Katie was their friend that worked in the security department that helped him break into this. And there was this sexual tension between Julian and Katie the whole time.
Yep.
Katie dies. Julian cries. Hey, that rhymed. Look at that.
Katie dies. Julian cries.
Yeah. And then one thing that I noticed next is there the SWAT team, which I'm guessing is local police now, I mean, sheriff's department, whatever. It's not the military. It's not Hybrid Tech. It's the local police or the SWAT team. They're putting all the bodies in body bags.
Yep.
What's the point? Why don't you just, like, torch them?
Right.
Incinerate them. But now they're putting all these zombie bodies into body bags. Oh, boy. What a dumb choice.
Yeah.
But
it was ridiculous.
Uncle Charlie gets away with the canister.
I know.
Right. So we know that there's going to be a sequel to this after this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got away. Now, did you catch at the end here? They go through this this newsreel, you know, because it cuts in. There's this news thing. You know, Hybrid Tech denies any zombie activity, blah, 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 all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch the names they were throwing around?
I did not.
Now, they said Bernard Darrow, who was the press secretary for Hybrid Tech, said mm-hmm. that, you know, there was nothing. Well, Darrow Chemical is the one that created the 245 trioxin from part three that the government bought the rights from, the trioxin from, Darrow Chemical. So they decided to throw this name in there, thinking, I don't know, nobody would notice or something like that. I noticed. That was the most interesting thing in the movie to me, besides Becky, was that Darrow Chemical. Yeah, I made that tie. But the Zeds come in and kill the news guy. The movie's over.
Yep.
You know, and that was the movie's over. You know, I don't know, Christine, this movie.
Yes.
Let me know your thoughts on this movie. Spill it.
Honestly, I don't understand the whole kung fu fighting scenes. But it's funny. I mean, it was sad and kind of stupid, but it was funny.
I guess you could just say funny. Yeah, okay.
I mean, they tried to make it serious, but
I don't know. This guy, let me see who this guy that directed this movie. I hate it. I didn't like this movie at all. I mean, especially, I'm such a huge fan of part 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, to come up with this.
The soundtrack was awesome.
The guy that directed and wrote this was Ellery Elkiam. He was born in New Zealand. Oh, he directed Eight-Legged Freaks. That was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling. Okay. Yeah, well, he's done a couple good things. But this movie here is not among one of the things that is good that he has done.
Yeah, I agree. It was confusing.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that I didn't like the most of it is that it's the Return of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Return of the Living Dead, the first one, was such a cult classic and why it was such a hit. There's a reason why part 2 is much loved. And there's a reason why part 3, other than Melinda Clark, why that movie is such, you know, has such a good following.
Mm-hmm.
This movie here, instead of going off of the recipe that the first three had to make a movie, they decided to go their own way and make something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie was filmed simultaneously with Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave, which is the next movie that we'll be covering in the Return of the Living Dead series, part 5. Now, both this film and the Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave, they stray away from the series rules that the tracks and Zombies are no longer the indestructible juggernauts of the first movie or the first three movies, but instead are much weaker and sometimes are seen to be dispatched with no more than a few gunshots to the body. Prior to this film, nothing short of incineration or electrocution with extreme high voltage would destroy a Traxman zombie. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
These bastards. They completely,
gorged the movie and like turned it into something weird.
Something very,
it was very confusing.
Now, director Toby Hooper was once attached to direct the Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave in its early pre-production. Now, Toby Hooper, we all know that he was the one that did Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
But obviously, you can see that he pulled out and he is not a part of Rave to the Grave, and probably for good reason.
Well, I hope it doesn't suck, too.
Well, we're going to see. Trying to go through this trivia here. I know there's not too much. Let me see. William Butler, who co-wrote this movie, starred in Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, as Michael. Coincidentally, three cast members of the original Return of the Living Dead appeared in Friday the 13th films. Tom Matthews, who played, he played in Jason Part 6, who played Tommy Jarvis.
Okay.
Miguel A. Nunez Jr. and Mark Venturi were in Part 5. A New Beginning.
Oh.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Return of the Living Dead was created by John A. Russo as a sequel to The Night of the Living Dead, which he wrote with George Romero. In the late 90s, George A. Romero was attached to write and direct a Resident Evil film. HyperCorp is essentially
That's kind of what it reminded me of, too, is the Umbrella Corp. Yeah. From,
HyperCorp is essentially the same as the Umbrella Corp from Resident Evil. Beyond this, the super zombies that Julian's parents are made into are heavily based on Nemesis from Resident Evil. I think that they're full of shit there. They're heavily based on the Borg from Star Trek The Next Generation. And you heard it from me, so it's got to be true. Because if you disagree with me, guess what? You're wrong.
That's right. You're wrong.
Oh, Christine, this movie. I got to say, for a cheesy zombie movie, it's not bad.
No.
But for a sequel to, you know, or another in the line of the Return of the Living Dead movies, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if they would have slapped another name on this and, you know, called it something different, I don't know.
There were parts that reminded me of Dawn of the Dead. Like the zombies got a hold of the cop, mm-hmm. and they were like all standing around and beating the crap out of him.
Yeah. Well, next we have Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave. Rave, and it's subtitled Dance Till You Drop Dead. So
Dance Till You Drop Dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to tell you. Send more security guards, Christine. That's all.
Send more paramedics.
Now, see, that was good.
Yeah.
Send more cops. You know, but then they send more security guards. They got to throw this in there because, you know, without those certain lines, without using trioxin and without that line, send more security guards, nobody would know that this is a sequel to The Return of the Living Dead.
It's true.
I mean, if you take those two things out of the movie, you could just slap this on here and call it, you know, Dead City or Necropolis.
Mm-hmm.
Leave out Return of the Living Dead. And it would have been just fine. A B-movie zombie movie that everybody would love.
Mm-hmm.
But since you called it Return of the Living Dead,
there are certain things that are expected.
And they failed.
Yes.
Idiots. Well, Christine, that's it. That's the Return of the Living Dead Necropolis in all its glory.
Yeah. It was great.
Are you excited for Rave to the Grave? You are, aren't you?
I'm so excited for Rave to the Grave. I can't wait to see it.
Well, you know, it's on the server. You can watch it anytime you want to.
Okay.
I don't know when I'm going to watch it, but soon.
All right.
And that's it. That's all she wrote for Return of the Living Dead. I didn't even want to. That's all she wrote for Necropolis. I don't want to say Return of the Living Dead anymore. We'll catch you next time. Everybody have a good night. Sleep well. Love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bed shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.